All right, guys, welcome. Thank you all for coming. Today is May 15th, 2026. Welcome to the Polymath Breakfast Club, filmed right here from the rooftop at Mr. Purple in New York City. Today, my guest is one of my business partners and fellow entrepreneurs, Tomas Steigwart. Did I say it the right way?
Yeah, that's the way they call me here. Like, it depends on which country you are, they spell it completely different. Actually,
but pronunciation though?
Yeah, the pronunciation. Like, in German, it's Steigwart.
Steigwart.
In Argentina, from where I am, they say Steigwart because they make it a little bit like American. Mm. But here, they say Steigwart. So I don't know who I am.
Good question. Isn't that the question we have? And so what are we working on, man? We're working on...
working on our projects.
Yeah.
Like on our... basically on our IP.
Yeah.
Which has... it's like a tree with different branches. Like now we're working on the book, the comic book.
So let's frame it for the audience, right? Back in November or December 2024, remember we had the podcast in
We
Miami.
Started in November 24.
Yeah, November 2024.
Actually, the first podcast was an interview. We did like a pitching session.
Yeah.
From the, not the sharks.
I remember that. Yeah, that was the crypto shark tank.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, the Blue Whale project, just to give everyone a little bit of a history, right? The team started the Blue Whale project as a Solana meme token, remember? Back before?
Correct.
Just before you, well, yeah. Even before I came in. Started it in March 2024, March 11th to be exact, 2024, a week after my birthday. And then when Jason and the crew contacted me, knowing I had experience in marketing, the first thing I said was, can't just be a meme. Like, a meme's a good
Correct.
Concept. As, okay, Billy the Blue Whale, Billy to a Billy, all those cool taglines, the mission was interesting, but it needed to be something more, you know? Because the point, according to the meme philosophy in crypto, was that you have a meme, like Dogecoin, like Shinu Ibu, like whatever, and now we'll be the whale, and people will invest in it because they want to have a whale. And to me, that didn't add up. Like, I saw it happening.
It was a little period where that worked.
Yeah.
Like 3 years ago, it was the hype of everyone jumping in. But of course, it's like everything that is more like gambling, and everyone was excited. Oh, I'm gonna do this and this. But long-term projects.
And what's the real value, right? I mean, like all the people that criticize crypto or question it and say, well, what is it? Well, what's even Bitcoin? What's the value? Well, anything, the value of anything, not to get too philosophical about it, but it's important, is like, it's the value of what we agree, right? So like, for example, KidCoin, another one of our projects, when a local business owner in Jersey City, you know, the downtown yogurt owner, told me, I'll accept KidCoin in downtown yogurt. I said, it made me think, like, I mean, it didn't surprise me, but it actually made me think, okay, if I can get 10 local businesses to accept it, then KidCoin's real money, right? Okay. But then that puts us into different crosshairs with licensing and all that. But so that being said, the meme concept to me was, I was never sold on it, which is why the first thing I did to say, I'll get involved if we build a real creative company out of this. So the first thing I did was come up with the idea for the story, the manga. That was the first thing. They had the meme, and then they had this little game, video game, and I said, that's cool, the game's cool, it's better than just the meme, because now you're doing something with the character. And now, how else can we build the value of this character? Let's give him a personality, let's give him friends.
If you whales... build a character, you build a world.
Yeah.
The lore.
Yeah.
Like the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, the whole world.
Yeah, and it starts with an idea, and so the idea was from them as far as like the Billy the Blue Whale, and then, you know, I took it and came up with the story concept, and by the time we met and you started coming in, then it was like, now we have 5 weeks to present an NFT collection. You got the cards, I'm sure, somewhere.
Of course, I have some here.
Yeah, so we went from, in December, we produced these NFTs, December 2024. And we sold about 12% of them. There's still a big portion remaining, 1,200 NFTs available. NFTs is another concept in crypto that, not that it gets misunderstood, but that it could be a lot of things. And then everyone thought, oh, well, I can just launch something, and just because it's a creative piece of art,
yeah,
or whatever, it's going to sell, which of
actually,
course.
Actually, for a brief, short period of time, it happened.
Yeah.
Like, you got some even, like, not really good stuff for $5 million in 2 days.
Yeah.
But then, when it fell, a lot of people lost a lot of money,
right,
because it wasn't really worth.
So, yeah, I mean, is it really worth that just because in the market it, because someone paid for it, like art, right? Could be abstract and then the value's up, but then later the value.
Yeah, but something which that's what I know, like real art never goes down.
Hmm.
Never. You don't buy a Van Gogh for 20 and sell it for 10. It doesn't happen.
Hmm.
Like even in the worst periods of humanity, like war, people buy art.
Hmm.
Art, real art is always going up. So,
real art, but then, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the point. And in this market, there was a lot of, I don't want to call it fake art because I'm not in that position, but there was a, there were like a balloon just with air.
Yeah.
Or helium. Hmm. And of course, at one point, there is not, the market is not so big, and a lot of people were just literally gambling, and that's why a lot of people get, oh, that's not, doesn't have sense, NFTs.
Right.
But there's still a market there.
Yeah.
For those who really got into, had some value, stayed there. And I think there is a future, and I think you told me that at one time, like, there are cycles, they're coming back, but in another way.
Yeah.
Not like as a hype, but as a, maybe as a non-traditional market.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the reason why NFTs are exciting to me is because it's not just about what it is. It's not just for the sake of the art. It's the sake of, what does this give you? If I tell you this card gives you access to all the top nightclubs in New York City, but you have to pay $500 for it.
Maybe, but I want to have it.
Right, exactly.
Just scan my QR.
Right, right. So I think some people have done it well, like Gary Vaynerchuk with his V friends. He came up with something creative and used his celebrity status to say, hey, if you want a private conference with me and, you know, not even my friends, just him, or be at this conference. He started also VCon, a whole conference.
Alex Hormozzi did the same.
Yep. Yep. And so I think it's a combination of having, you know, some type of, right, like the way we brought Drita in, right? And Drita was someone that people knew, so she didn't really, well, she did. She didn't give like a direct endorsement, but she did. We have those videos where she was,
yeah,
looking at the NFT art.
Yeah.
And we posted them, and that did, I mean, it did help the market cap go up during that week. There was a reflection.
When we were in Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a reflection. So I think if you look at Wall Street, it's the same. Why do stocks go up? People go on to watch CNBC or, you know, other financial shows and see what the big guys are saying, or what did the president say? What did Elon Musk say? And Elon Musk said Dogecoin. And so, you know, I was talking about that earlier today. So I think it comes down to marketing and PR, but I don't like the smoke and mirrors concept. I like, you know, the marketing and PR, like I always tell people in marketing, they say, what's the best secret in marketing? I said, having a good product.
Yeah, of course.
That's like what you said about real art. It's the same thing.
And I think what we are building slowly and like a lot of work and ideas coming and going, because that's the creative process, is an IP, real IP, like real world. That's why I said a real lore, like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, of course, Avengers. That's an IP. And then the value that comes from the story and everything you can do with that. Trading cards, movies, animation, whatever. And that takes time. Because even Disney, like everybody says, oh, Disney, the big monster of animation and entertainment. But it took him 40 years.
Yeah.
And a whole life to build what today we know as Disney Animation or Disney Company.
Yeah, you studied that whole, all those stories.
I did.
Today
15, I guess yesterday is the birthday of George Lucas. So, for those who don't know, the creator of Star Wars. And the same. He was almost broken and he kept on with the story and he pitched and he got money and the studios hated the movie in the previous realization and they want to put it on TV and cut everything, get the robots away, get this Chewbacca, this silly dog away, just keep a couple fights and we go to TV. And he said no. And that's the beautiful part of this story because it's true. So he said, okay, don't pay me my salary. I don't want money. Just give me the whole license of the products, merchandising. If the movie works, that's the way I'm going to make money. And they say, of course, take it.
Smart man.
77.
Yeah.
But he was like fully convinced.
That was in 1977?
1977.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted that film. It was supposed to be a complete failure.
Yeah.
And he didn't make no money. So when it comes out, everyone wanted a Princess Leia, a Luke Skywalker, a Darth Vader, R2-D2.
Right.
And even Lucasfilm, which is his company that he later sold to Disney for, I think, $4 billion, took him 30 years to build.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can have like a lucky moment, but it takes time.
Good things take time. That's right. And in the crypto world, to kind of bring it back, and I want to get concrete on our projects and how it connects to crypto, because the way I see crypto is it's a different world. It's like when the internet came in and everything became about having like your online identity and doing things like banking online versus all the things you did in your normal terrestrial life, your real world life versus now your online life. I see AI as its own story too, but I think with crypto, it's another universe of its own. And I've always seen the projects that we're working on as potential bridges to really connect what we do in the real world, like you said, consuming creativity and different types of things and connecting it to this new world, right? And I think that's where there's a lot of failure sometimes because people are in that world and they don't even bother trying to explain it to the others. They're just like, if you don't get it, we're over here versus, well, let's do something to help onboard more people. Not that everyone wants to go there. Like, a lot of people don't like online things. They still try to do like let's say social media, for example. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep doing things and you know.
Well, I think we are living in, I don't want to go so deep, but in a crucial moment of humankind history. Like, AI is taking the world by storm. And we are in the middle of the storm. Some people are getting it very fast. Some of us not so fast, but some are just stepping out. Okay, it's just another tool. It's not just another tool. It's going to change. And it is changing. If you see the numbers of the Hollywood industry, they're firing people. Every big company, Disney, Warner, Paramount.
Well, every industry, Hollywood, tech, you know.
But yeah, exactly. But there were like some like sacred monster. Oh, here it's not going to affect us. It is affecting everything. And even when I started to do animation like 20 years ago, it was 50 to 100 times more expensive, more complicated to do the same. So AI is a tool. And how AI, NFTs, crypto world, and creativity integrates, I think in that middle point, that's where we should be.
Yeah.
I think we are, but we're still learning. It's not a very specific, it's not a circle. It's like, it has a lot of little gray areas.
Yeah.
And every day you have to learn something about it.
For sure. No, we're definitely in a learning process, but I think as entrepreneurs, that's what is exciting, to be on the edge and not to know whether you're going to fall off a cliff, or you got to walk that razor's edge. And I think, look, we have the World Cup coming up in a month. It puts pressure on us, because when we got this big physical facility, you know, in Jersey City, the sports center, you know, Superbase, as you know, right when we came back from that Art Basel fair, right? And I was like, guys, now we have this.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, we had this where we are now, rooftop. So like these two big venues all of a sudden, not magically, but by some kind of design and plan and some magic maybe, opened up to us. So we have, this is as real world as you can get, right? A tangible place where people come to eat and a place where families go to play and get care.
And by the way, I know you're launching the whole, are you? Like all the system with the NFTs from the World Cup?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. So part of the bridge we talked about, right? Real world and crypto world. So we're bringing the NFTs, the Blue Whale NFTs, the Basement Sports Soccer World Cup NFTs from 2022, Men's World Cup, 2023 Women's, and now the new World Cup. 26. Which for the first time we have 48 teams. So now we have like 84,000 soccer NFTs. It's a lot. And Mustafa, who's one of our creative directors, who's in the audience, is the creative visionary, like the way you did for the cards. He did the same for that. And so people said, and I've taken the feedback, like, well, kids and families aren't going to understand what NFTs are and how to buy them and how to set up their wallets, and which is true. So you have to make it easier. So we demystified it. In the new system, we're not even calling it NFTs. We're just saying it's your avatar. It's your player avatar. I mean, in fine print, and if someone wants to know, that you own it, you could sell it now. You can actually have a collection, like the way people have baseball trading cards. And you could have these digital cards, but each one's unique. Right? Just like ours are entirely unique, same. Those soccer ones, like no two Argentina players look alike, right? There's 1,000 Argentina men and 1,000 Argentina women, and there's 2,000 unique characters. So if little Joey comes in and he wants Argentina, he's going to have a player that's unique to him, and now that card is with him as long as he's a member of Superbase. Even if he leaves, he owns it. And what's the value of resale? Again, like any market, we don't know. So we're introducing all that, reintroducing it in this World Cup, along with showing all the World Cup games through watch parties, launching the cafe, selling our Purple Dragon smoothies and our character IP branded drinks. Mm. And then our manga book, which and
we're
trading cards,
on.
Which we're working on.
We're
so
working
let's
on.
Let's talk about
let's
that.
Let's be honest.
Bit.
I'm stressed. Hey, I'm stressed.
He's under a lot of stress because the it's not a book with a couple of pictures. It's a manga comic book, which is picture driven largely. So I'll take credit for writing the story, but I think a lot of the credit is going to have to go to the visual artist.
I think it's going to be nice when we see it all together and say, oh, we did it.
Like, yeah.
In the middle, it's nothing like the characters without the story, because it's not written like a book. It's a whole product. And I think that is going to be actually the beginning of something bigger.
Yeah.
Because we have the characters, we did this on the NFTs, and we have, but now we have, like, people love and still need stories, and that's we're gonna deliver the second part, because you had ones before, but now it's gonna be fully our brand, our work, our IP, and I think that's the beginning.
And on January 4th last year in 2025, when we opened Superbase to the public with this Blue Whale, I forget what we called it, winter carnival,
yeah.
And this guy, I mean, man, what you did that that 2 weeks before was incredible. I mean, creating the world of Atlantis in that in that mural art back room. I think that opened a portal. That opened a door, and kids, and we had the cards out. We had the cards out, and we had 12 cards out, remember? And we used to ask kids, what's your favorite? And inevitably, they would struggle with a decision. They liked two characters, they liked one. It's very interesting to see what they chose, and then they would ask more questions about it. What happens? What happens next?
They want to know. And that interesting part is, there are a lot of, let's divide them good and bad.
Right.
But a lot, let me see what we have here. Yeah. No, I don't have, oh, I have the pirate here. A lot of the kids, they don't want to be the good guys. Yeah. They wanted the pirate.
Yeah.
They wanted to be Seth the pirate. And that's interesting because you see, oh, it's like, why do people love Darth Vader?
Yeah.
He's the bad guy. Oh, but he's powerful. and there is always a story behind good guys and bad guys.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that in this, especially in this part of the story, is very interesting.
Yeah,
we're going deep in the characters learning, being trained, and that you should talk about that, like the Olympics, like the.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. Like, amazingly, when we started writing this story, that's now April 2024. Instantly at that time, I was like, the story has to culminate in some kind of games, some kind of tournament, sports tournament. Like, it was just an inspiration that, and then I thought, oh, the World Cup's coming in 2 years at that time, so this is going to be a good build-up for it. And so here we are now. Here we are right at the at that time frame. So yeah, I mean, without giving the whole story away, there's a training period with Billy and Nelly and other characters, and then they train to prove that they're worthy to lead their continent or country in these international games that we're calling the Tournament of the Realms. So the climax actually of book two will be that. The climax in book one is a little different, more of the end of their training. So it's exciting. I think the story is exciting. I think kids will relate to one character or another. We're also launching this within also a sports facility where we're trying to teach kids some of these values. So I think the characters can become good role models for the kids, and it reinforces the education that we're giving them. So that part's exciting to me.
Yeah, that's why I think once we have the story, the characters, and everything together, there can be like different lines.
Yeah. Yeah, the stuffed toys, many ideas. And here's the point for the entrepreneurs out there. It's great to be excited. I always encourage throwing all the ideas at the wall. It's the brainstorming, right? I know we love that. And then the rubber has to meet the road, right? It's like, these are 25 good ideas, but we have a month, 2 months to execute one or two or three things. Like right now I have this like five projects that are all trying to coincide and get done by the World Cup for us. And I'm putting, like, that's why there's like a different lieutenant. Like, you're in charge of the manga part. Ruben's in charge of the audio visual. Each component has a leader. We'll see where it goes, but I think for entrepreneurs, we have to learn how to push the limits and then continue to come back to be as practical as we can be about what's the next step.
It's very easy to get lost in some of the paths.
Yeah.
We know that.
And for sure. And things take longer. I mean, you talk to any company, any entrepreneur that's made it big, how much did things cost? It usually cost more than they expected and took longer. But I saw what Rocco did, you know, God rest his soul, one of our investors and a mentor, Rocco Camiso, and the things he used to pull off in the time frame was like only Rocco type of thing could do that. Like when he built his new facility, you didn't see it in upstate, the time frame he did it in, other contractors were like, there's no way, but it's because he's so relentless. You know, I don't think in some ways his personality about that, I mean, I'm relentless in my own way, but he would know how to push on people to like get things done, you know, and that's, well, something I learned from watching him, but I don't have my own style kind of. But it's funny when you referenced a couple times with soccer, like, hey, you know, they need like a Rocco type. I'm like, I don't see myself like him, but it's a great role model though when you see someone get something done in a time frame that everyone says is impossible.
It's impossible. And you know? By the way, like, maybe we can take a little of time to talk about get things done and what's the Polymath Breakfast Club? What's the purpose of this?
Yeah.
Because some people, oh, what is that? I invited some people, okay, what is this exactly? And I say, first, you have to ask Arman. But for what I get, it's an opportunity. In a world where some doors tend to be closed, it's an opportunity to open yourself to new doors, and the doors are going to be open for a while. Is any guarantee that something is going to happen, like that your progress? No guarantees. But what we can guarantee, and I think that's what you're doing, is the doors are going to be open.
Yeah, and I like that. No, I like that analogy. I mean, I think, first of all, just the word polymath, I think, is a good one, because it's like, there was one woman that came last time, and she's like, yes, it's something I can relate to, because you don't want to be put in a box. I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a coder. Like, it's great to be those things, but we're so much more than that. I mean, at a spiritual level, we're so much more than any of this, but in a career, in a creative expression opportunity, I know, like, the Koreans have a that philosophy where you should actually change your profession two or three times during your lifetime. Yeah, like, there's like these stages where it's like, no, don't just be one thing. Like, you have to reinvent yourself. And I think the idea of polymath is like that open door. It's like, well, I'm a lawyer, but I really like to paint, but I'm a lawyer. But it's like, well, maybe you're a painter. Maybe you're none of that. Maybe you don't, you don't need any label, right?
Well, actually, now you're saying, like, you know, I'm teaching filmmaking here in New York, and I'm in charge of short term, and usually the people are between 20 and 30, and I have this lady in her 50s. And what are you doing? Oh, I developed some internet companies, but I'm changing career. And beautiful, because that's exactly what you said. Just, I want to see myself in another position of doing different things.
Yeah.
That keeps you maybe younger instead of being like, and the world is changing. Like, and anyway, the first polymath, like officially, it was Leonardo da Vinci. That was always my wow. An engineer, painter, he was even a singer.
Yeah.
He designed games for the Sforzas and the Medicis. He was everything. He was he went in secret and got an open corpse to understand how anatomy works. So what was he? He was a polymath.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great inspiration. And I think in the US and modern society, we've gotten into this specialization and hyper-specialization. Even doctors, like my dad was a doctor, and he didn't like that. It's like, okay, now he's a surgeon, but now there's like, oh, you have to be a hand surgeon. Like, all you do is that.
And then you are fingers.
So listen, I mean, I think, as we know from the spiritual teaching, the holistic concept of, yes, if you understand one thing really well, you could map it to other things. But on the other hand, being too narrow can restrict you. So the main concept is just to open up. I think entrepreneurship is a chance to invent and reinvent oneself, to be open to new ideas. And what we're doing with the Breakfast Club is just trying to invite people who are either, I don't even like the word saying, like, I'm an entrepreneur, because even that, like, you start putting yourself in a box. But it is an invitation for people to come, share ideas, brainstorm, meet others, and to just put things together that might seemingly not connect, and all of a sudden there could be something good that comes out of that fusion.
Well, you just said one thing. I think it's one of the, it's not a secret, but what's the fundamental laws, like how you get to a new idea. You have to put two completely different things that seem not to be connected and put them together.
Yeah.
And I in my screenwriting lessons, I use this example. It was the 80s. It was this director, Ridley Scott.
Mm.
You know Ridley Scott,
yeah,
is
sure.
famous for Gladiator, for Casacucci, for Blade Runner. So he was starting. And there were two movies at the moment. One was Jaws, Steven Spielberg, like a shark eating people. And there were a lot of space movies, Star Wars. So he entered the room, there were the producers, said, imagine shark, Jaws, like a shark in space. And that's the way he pitched Alien.
Hmm. Interesting.
A shark in space.
Yeah.
So that two completely different ideas. There are no sharks in space. So put that together and you have Alien. And I think that what you said is the secret of every good creative process. And that's what I teach.
Hmm.
Like, and that's what I try to do myself. Even sometimes we also fall in boxes. Now I have to do this. And then you get like, at one point it seems you get focused, but at the end you lose reference on the outside. And you need to put things together and get ideas from different places.
Yeah. That's, listen, the creative process is, it's good to see yours at work, like you were talking about. Like sometimes you just got to put everything out there and then trust the process that it's going to come together.
And being very honest with yourself, like I was telling you yesterday, I sent you on an audio, a video, like sometimes I feel frustrated. Sometimes you're working and you say, oh, that's not going anywhere. All my ideas are bad, so bad. I should quit everything and put a bar. And coming out, it's like when you are training physically and you feel the weights are too heavy and you're going to die under the pressure. And you have to develop this kind of, I don't know if it's willpower or resilience or something. Okay, I feel like that. I don't know where I'm going. But because I did it before, I know I'm going to find a way.
Yeah.
And in the middle, accept that there are going to be dark moments and frustration and deal with it. A lot of people think, oh, you have to keep, especially with kids.
Yeah.
And you have a kid, you know, like they don't have to get frustrated. They have to be always happy. No, no. Life includes frustration.
Yeah.
And from there you have to learn, or you have to see how you get out of there and get things done, or learn that that's not for you and you want to do it. That's okay too, but you have to go through the process. Not everything a happy face. And
for
we're
sure.
in a society where it's like you take the phone and be happy and everything should be
everything okay.
Every day and smile and think positive and all the things which are great. Like manifest, okay. Yeah, it's not so just thinking, okay, I'm going to manifest and the money is going to come to me and I'm going to be healthy. And when I hear that, it's the worst effort.
Yeah.
And nothing in humanity was made without effort.
For
from
sure.
the pyramids to the movie. And so when I feel, and you know, when you are in the creative process, you open to a lot of possibilities. So when you're open to ideas, you're open also to contrast. And when you see, I sometimes look at my work and say, that's not good enough. I compare myself with Da Vinci, with George Lucas, and say, okay, well, stop, because that's going to frustrate you. Without, you can't go out of there. It's like a musician who says, if I'm not John Lennon or whatever, whoever, then I'm not. Okay, you have to find your own way and go through the whole process. And it's going to be hard at one point. And that's you'd know that better than me, but the entrepreneurial world, like not all your projects and ideas were successful, for sure.
For sure. Some, yeah, you learn from the failure. You learn
from
the
failure.
That's
part of the process, I think. And that's something we can, I don't like the word teach, but share in this kind of meetings.
100%.
Especially with people, I have an idea and it's going to be amazing because I, and always this, like, and I'm pretty against it. Because Steve Jobs did it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Messi.
Yeah.
If you know Argentinian soccer game, world champion.
No one could deny that.
But there is one, Ronaldo, if you want. Nadal, there is one. So what happens with the rest? So you have to be like very positive, but keep in mind that don't bet to only the win, we say in Argentina, the horse who's gonna win, because maybe you have to go with another strategy.
Yeah.
And deal with reality. And we are in a world where nature is like the climate, the air, what we live in an ecosystem, an holographic ecosystem, and you have to find your own self in there.
Yeah.
If not, you get lost with fans, especially with social media and everyone posting like...
Right, and trying to compare yourself to these illusions that aren't real for the most part anyway, yeah.
Most unreal. You know, like a lot of successful young entrepreneurs, they rent a Ferrari for one day, take some pictures, say, that's the way I did it.
Yeah.
Fake.
Yeah, then you find out the real
story. And there's the famous fake it till you make it.
Well, this goes to the coming full circle back to crypto. That's where a lot of things in memes and NFTs and crypto and even tech startups become glorified and glamorized. And that's not the truth. That's not the way. The way is painful. The way is sometimes uncertain. The way is treacherous. It's actually not fun. People are like, you've been an entrepreneur. It's so much fun. I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, I enjoy it. It's the journey, but it's not as fun as you might think looking at it. It's actually been very difficult, but I think that's what helped me build character and resilience. And like you said, pressure makes diamonds. So the next few weeks, let's make some aura stones. All right, man, let's wrap it up and get back to work. Love you.
Thank you to Micah, who's shooting everything for us.
Peace, everyone.